We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Now, from Learfield.
Pistols firing! Touchdown, Oklahoma State!
This is the Oklahoma State Cowboy Insider. Here is your host, Dave Hunziker.
This is the Cowboy Insider. My name is Dave Hunziker, and I'm joined by my good friend and colleague, John Holcomb. And before we talk about Oklahoma State, I want to dive into something else. It's kind of been on my mind. It's been bothering me, actually. Things bother me. I get late in the season, I get a little grumpy, so it doesn't take much, I guess. But they released the initial seeds, those top four seeds, just for fun for the NCAA tournament, if it were going to be staged at the time that those seedings were released several days ago. And it caught my attention because Kansas was seeded ahead of Texas Tech, who not only is ahead of Kansas in the Big 12 standings, but beat the Jayhawks in Lawrence. And one thing that gets brought up is non-conference schedule. Well, strength of non-conference schedule. Here's where I have a major, major issue, and I know hopefully the committee recognizes this. If not, they need to listen to our podcast so that we can help educate them. I say that in jest. I'm joking. But they really, I hope they are paying attention to this. Here's the thing. It's a heck of a lot easier for Kansas to schedule a challenging, high RPI non-conference schedule than it is Texas Tech. Kansas gets to go play Duke or Michigan State or Kentucky or whoever it is in Chicago or New York or wherever, maybe play two of those games and get paid a bunch of money to do it. They can get teams to play home and home. They get invited to play in the Maui Invitational and, you know, the big tournament in the Bahamas that they have over Thanksgiving, the Elite Tournament. Texas Tech can't do that. Texas Tech doesn't get invited to play in Chicago at the United Center to play Kentucky or Duke. Duke probably wouldn't have played Texas Tech in Durham in the Cameron Indoor Stadium. And they're certainly not going to play him home and home in Lubbock. John, I hope the committee thinks about that. You have to be careful, if you're the NCAA basketball committee, how caught up you get in non-conference strength of schedule, because it is not an equal, by any means, equal opportunity situation for the Power 5 teams. Even in the Big 12, it's not equal. Certain teams have a much greater opportunity and have far more access to powerful non-conference games than others. And Kansas and Texas Tech, a great example. So when I saw that seeding, I have to admit, my horns came out, and I was sticking up for the Red Raiders because they kind of live in the world Oklahoma State does. Nobody wants to go to Lubbock and play. And so I hope they are thinking about that, because that could affect Oklahoma State at some point. The Cowboys are able to make a run. Wasn't a super strong non-conference schedule, but the Cowboys were lucky to get that series with Wichita State, trying to get a Power 5 team to come to Stillwater, home and home. We were blessed that Maryland did it for a couple of years, but nobody else has done it in forever. So that's my soapbox.
It's worthy of standing on, too, Dave. I mean, the thing about this is you're trying, it's almost like the committee is trying too hard to find a definitive separation in a league and in college basketball, where we are finding, and Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News wrote an excellent article about this just in the last day or two, about how there are fewer really bad teams in power conferences, which is leading to more parity across the board. And he pointed out, say, Duke, North Carolina, and a couple other teams. But the Cowboys fall into this, too. Cowboys predict to finish 10th, and look where they are in the standings. Even Iowa State, who's behind Oklahoma State in the standings, even them, they've got some impressive wins. You don't have the true bottom feeders that you had before. So the committee may be overreaching in trying to find something to separate them. And all they're doing when they do that is rewarding the blue blood. And unfortunately, for me, that looks and smells just like what we've seen in the college football playoff.
Mm-hmm.
Too much. Where you've got an eye test, you know?
No doubt.
It's not fair.
It's not fair. And it's funny that you bring that up, and it's funny that story was written. I was talking to a friend that coaches in the Big Ten today, as a matter of fact, and that topic came up, and his comment was this. He said, there are no easy games, as you said, in any of the Power 5 conferences. You know, in the Big Ten, there are no easy outs. And he made the comment, he said, let's think back to your league. He said, let's think back to the Big 12 13, 14 years ago. Let's use this as an example. Let's think about when the Cowboys went to the Final Four and won the league. Last team to win the league outright before Kansas went on its run. And it's not taking anything away from that team. But think about, I mean, you had games in the league that were automatic wins. Two against A&M, who was awful at that time. They were dreadful. Baylor was coming off of sanctions. They were awful. Colorado was sort of on its downward trend. They became more of an easy game a few years later. Nebraska wasn't very good. So you had, in your conference schedule, which was then 16 games, you felt like you had at least four, if not five or six, automatic wins. Where, shoot, all you had to do is pretty much show up, and if you didn't just miss absolutely every shot you took, you were going to win. That's not true in the Big 12 nowadays. And not only is it true not in the Big 12, I mean, here's the thing. You think about the Power 5, about the only team that everybody's running over in a Power 5 league, as far as I can tell, is Pittsburgh. And we played them early, and we know they're going through a complete overhaul with Kevin Stallings in year two. So it's different now. It's different now than it was 13 years ago. Am I making any sense?
You know what it's becoming? It's becoming more like the NFL. I mean, what does the NFL seek? Okay, you can say the Patriots, okay, are there year after year after year. So they're kind of the outlier. But what does the NFL want with all of this kind of scheduling and things like that? And obviously the dynamics are different. But the NFL has achieved parity. That's where college basketball, to a certain degree, is headed. And in the wake of whatever's going to happen with all this federal investigation stuff going on,
oh yeah,
we could see it even more just ridiculous on a parity level. But for the committee to go back to the original point, for the committee to go back and say, all right, we're going to heavily weight the non-conference scheduling portion, it's not... You cannot apply that metric equally across the board. It does not work that way. Well, so if you take that instead of how you performed in your last 10 games or 12 games or whatever, then teams, in my mind, get unfairly penalized because they just can't schedule teams. I mean, I would rather, if you gave me the choice of the two, Dave, I would say the two things that matter the most to me right now, quality road wins and how you fared coming into March. Because as a team, you're supposed to gradually get better, right? I mean, that's the assumption. You gradually get better. So the last 12 plus your quality road wins. That's
what I
would like to see get the most weight.
You know, and the hard thing now, in the Big 12, it's not really this way, but the hard thing now that is more difficult now than what it used to be, and looking at those last 12 games, for example, are the imbalanced conference schedules, where not everybody plays everybody home and home and twice. And so who do you catch at what point in your league schedule if you're in the ACC or the Big Ten, and did you play them home or road, and did you have to play the great teams on the road and the bad teams at home? So you get into some of those quirky conference scheduling dynamics where you don't have a double round robin across the board, and even that gets complicated. You know what I think's fouled all this up, though, from a scheduling standpoint, going back to the whole non-conference concept? All of these tournaments now, it used to be you had the Maui Invitational, you had the preseason NIT, the old Great Alaska Shootout, which is literally out in the cold nowadays, and then at some point in time, a little bit later, the San Juan Shootout came about, and that was a Christmas tournament back in those days, or just before Christmas. So now you have all of these, not only those tournaments, but the made-for-TV events. And it used to be that if you were going to fill out your non-conference schedule and play any quality teams, there would be a point where you would have to play one, if not two, Power 5 team home and home. That's what you did. And television helped orchestrate those matchups because they wanted those games. Now television would much prefer to send you to Disney World to play in an eight-team tournament where they sell all the advertising, control all the TV, set the tip times, control everything, and you get your high-quality games that way. But that really robs the fans that want to come to games where they have the opportunity to see those blue bloods or those great Power 5 teams in person. I mean, we were so lucky to have Maryland come in here, and we had a home-and-home with them, which ended last year. But, boy, that is not the norm anymore. And I think what's killed those types of games, those home-and-home non-conference matchups among the Power 5 conferences, are those tournaments. I mean, now there's a zillion of them, and, you know, the TV networks control them, and they control everything about them and make all the money off of them. And now, shoot, trying to schedule anybody to come to your building for a home-and-home is almost impossible, you know?
Dave, you hit on something, too, that brings us back to what's the root of all of this. I mean, and you and I visited a little bit about this last night. What's driving all of this? What will drive all of this from now until the point to where things drastically change so much that you don't even recognize it? It's money. It's money.
Oh, yeah.
And so you get the TV networks, especially ESPN, controlling the fields and the invitations and getting everyone in one spot. They get everyone to Orlando like the Cowboys are headed to next Thanksgiving. You get eight teams in one place. You have basically one or two production crews if you need to have them relieve each other on this deal. You have it all in one place. It's all easier to manage. You don't spend as much, all of that sort of thing. You know, that could change, too, in the years to come. But that's really what we're talking about here, and it shouldn't be a surprise to anyone.
So let's talk about the Cowboys now. What do you make of the up-and-down nature of things the last 2 weeks?
I want to default to the airplane line. Oh, I could make a brooch or I could make a hat because there's no really way to know. You don't know. You know, I mean, that's the craziest thing about this. There is no way to predict what's going to happen Saturday or what's going to happen next Wednesday against Texas Tech, or what's going to happen the following Saturday at Texas or at Iowa State or against Kansas. Except that, I think you hit on something that is probably the fundamental truth in all of this when it comes to the Big 12 schedule. This is more of a matchup-driven team than you and I have ever been around in our lives. And there are reasons for it. I mean, you say, well, what does that mean? Well, it means, how many broken court opportunities can you get into?
Mm-hmm.
How many easily manufactured baskets can you score? And how well can you rebound against your opponent? Those are the three things for the Cowboys that they need to have in their favor or close to being in their favor for them to have success in big games. And we saw it in Lawrence, and we saw it in Morgantown. We did not see it against Baylor. We did not see it against TCU, and we did not see it against Kansas State on Wednesday night. And there are reasons. In the Kansas State game is kind of a weird one, as you mentioned so well. They're a mutt when it comes to that kind of matchup because they give up so many offensive rebounds. And yet, the way they play defense, they lull you into taking tougher shots, yep, more contested shots than you need to. And the Cowboys succeeded with the offensive rebounds but fell into the trap. And Kansas State gambles that you're going to miss enough shots and have enough problems scoring that we're going to be able to take advantage of you on the other end. And that's exactly what happened. So, looking forward, you've got TCU Saturday night. Great length, more talent, probably across the board in Kansas State. Although, I mean, you could argue in the backcourt. I mean, Barry Brown and Cartier Diarra, and then you had Kamau Stokes, who came in and played some solid minutes for him. You could argue that Kansas State has offensively about as much talent as TCU because those three guys with the ball in their hands each have an ability to create some things. And when you look at TCU's lineup, you've got Alex Robinson, who is more of a distributor than a finisher. Mm-hmm. You have Bain, who is a three-point shooter. You really don't have that dynamic two that can go create and score for them, but what you do have is a matchup, kind of a matchup nightmare in Brodziansky, and then the real two-way nightmare in Kenrich Williams, who can go get rebounds and he can go score from a couple of different levels. So it's weird. Could the Cowboys have success against TCU? Yes, TCU would like to play a faster pace than Kansas State, so that would play in the Cowboys' favor, right?
But absolutely.
Their length is what gives you an issue, and the fact that they rebound it better defensively than Kansas State, that also gives you an issue. Is it a winnable game? I'm not going to sit here and tell you, because you wouldn't believe me anyway, that after winning in Lawrence and in Morgantown, you couldn't win in Fort Worth, but it's going to be tough.
Yeah, it's like you flip the mutt. TCU plays faster, a lot faster than Kansas State, but Kansas State is the worst defensive rebounding team in the Big 12. And anybody that watched the game in Stillwater earlier this week clearly recognizes now how that, oh, yeah, that sure is an issue for them. Well, the problem with TCU is they are a fantastic defensive rebounding team. They're just a great rebounding team, period. But you look at, you know, you look at their numbers. I mean, they're the second best defensive rebounding team in the league in conference play, and that's only because Texas Tech is off the charts. I mean, you had 22 second chance points against K-State. You missed a lot of first shots, so you had a lot of opportunities. If you miss first shots, you won't get second chances against TCU most likely. So your first shots had better be good ones. Coach Boynton and I talked about that on the radio show. Your offensive execution's got to be really good because you've got to get quality first shots because there's a good chance you won't get a second one.
Well, and all that starts with you better be in attack mode offensively. I don't care if you get eight shots blocked. You have to be, if you're the Cowboys, you have to be in attack mode, getting toward the rim. If you see OSU settling for jump shots over the top after some passive around the perimeter passing against TCU's defense, it's not a good sign. I think that you have to work it. You have to try to get to the rim as often as you can, but you've got to work it inside out against them. It's not that you're going to get a whole lot of low post looks, but I think one thing that plays in the Cowboys' favor, other than the obvious, they've played, which I still don't understand how this happened. They played so well on Saturdays versus midweek. It's crazy. I've never seen anything like that either. But the fact that they played well on the road plays in their favor. But the fact that they really, effort-wise, you can point back to that game at TCU as the effort falling more into the disappointing category than the, okay, we can take that, we just didn't do some other things well. That one fell more in the disappointing category. You control that. And I think that coming off again, they've been able to gather themselves, get together, and play better on the road. I'd be shocked if they came out and didn't give the maximum effort type of play on Saturday. Is it going to be enough? Well, I mean, it depends on how many shots TCU misses and how challenged you make their shots in the first place.
Well, John, it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks for the time, my friend.
Always happy to be with you, Dave. Drive safely. I'll see you in Fort Worth.
That's John Holcomb. I'm Dave Hunziker. Thanks for listening. This has been the Cowboy Radio Insider, and we'll talk to you Saturday night from Fort Worth, Texas.
This has been the Oklahoma State Cowboy Insider. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.